Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen,
you're listening to The Traveling Culturati, exploring the style and culture of travel with travel pro Javon Harley, exclusively on HUR Voices.
Well, hello, fellow Culturati. It's your host and travel pro, Javon Harley. And welcome to the Traveling Culturati on HUR Voices, Sirius XM Channel 141. We're going to have a special guest on with Asta, who's going to tell us about some travel trends and how travel agents save you money. We've also got Javon's Travel Minute, the question of the week, and the culture report. But right now, we've got some travel news. The Bahamas Minister of Foreign Affairs and Immigration is warning its citizens traveling to the United States of recent tensions in some American cities. The Bahamian government emphasized in a recent statement that its travelers should avoid crowds and demonstrations. Additionally, young black men specifically should exercise extreme caution in their interactions with police. They've told them, do not be confrontational and cooperate. This is not the first time in recent months that a government has issued travel advisories for its citizens heading to the United States. In April, the UK Foreign Office cautioned its LGBT over controversial legislation passed in North Carolina and Mississippi. And last month, the UAE issued a travel advisory for its citizens to avoid wearing traditional clothing because of Islamophobia. As the DNC, the Democratic National Convention, is approaching, so is a possible baggage handler strike. With thousands of people set to arrive in Philadelphia in a couple of weeks for the 2016 Democratic National Convention, baggage handlers at Philadelphia International Airport say they won't rule out a strike during the event. In a piece written for the Philadelphia Inquirer newspaper, Marcus Price, a baggage handler at Philadelphia International Airport, wrote, "My co-workers and I can't afford to take a strike off the table. We won't stay hidden when the world is watching Philadelphia." Admitting that going on strike is a last resort, Price said he and his fellow workers would do it, given the audience that would hear of their plight. He goes on to state, "Our treatment, wages, and conditions are a sad reflection on this city. We are mostly black workers who have watched as Philadelphia's new development has helped everyone but us. We see luxury condos being built, a huge expansion of the airport. Yet we're stuck in jobs that keep us in poverty and do not allow us to provide for our families." Price also stated that not only baggage handlers are involved, workers who provide wheelchair assistance and clean the planes for a fast turnaround time are also involved. Philadelphia is proudly a union town. Baggage handlers are among the only group of people working the event with a major hand in the DNC who are not in a union. They do the jobs that used to be done by the airlines with union workers, but the airlines have outsourced these jobs over the last 30 years to subcontractors, and the subcontractors outbid each other for lucrative contracts by paying their workers as little as possible. Price indicated the baggage handlers are among those fighting for a $15 an hour wage and to be part of a union. He goes on to state that the last things the city and the Democratic Party should showcase our poverty and labor problems at the airport. Philadelphia is poised to make history again with the DNC. The city's airport workers want to be sure this history is one we can be proud of, says Price. Well, are you ready for some more airline fees? And this one, well, it's just a little mean. Some airlines have instituted a new baggage fee and policy. And just when you thought the airlines were running out of things to charge for. Well, first there was the checked bag fee, then the carry-on bag fee, and now the connecting bag fee. And that's on top of the normal checked bag fee. And to add salt to the wound, some carriers require that you collect your bag and recheck it at the connecting point. And before you get too upset, let me clarify. The connecting bag fee is if you are connecting on a separate ticket, but Should it matter? An airline representative said that the extra fees are needed because separate bookings for connecting flights cause problems in baggage delivery and transfers. Well, here's my two cents. Airlines have something called a baggage agreement. This means they have an agreement between them to handle each other's bags. And before bag fees, as we know them today, existed, airlines transferred bags for free. And as long as the two airlines had a baggage agreement and the flights had enough connecting time. It seems to me that the more we become digitized and automated, the less handling airlines want to do. You would think digitization and automation would make things easier, not more difficult. Could it be that the airlines just thought of a way to charge yet another fee? Well, guess how much airlines made from baggage fees in 2015? $3.8 billion. I'm just saying. Well, Cuban flights have some opposition. Three House lawmakers introduced legislation recently to block flights to Cuba from the United States that the Department of Transportation has approved because of security concerns that the direct flights will ease the flow of bombs and terrorists to the U.S. Representatives want to block the flights until Cuba has the screening equipment and airport worker training to meet U.S. security standards. The bill asks the Government Accountability Office to confirm that Cuba meets the standards and an agreement to allow air marshals on the flights. Paul Fujimura, Assistant Administrator for the Global Strategies at the Department of Homeland Security, said, inspectors found Cuba meets standards in the International Civil Aviation Organization, a branch of the United Nations. Fujimura also stated chartered flights have been operating from six airports for years under ICAO standards, and we are completely comfortable with the security standards that are being met on those flights. Flights to Cuba are scheduled to begin in September, and American Airlines has already begun selling tickets. The new J.D. Power 2016 North American Hotel Guest Satisfaction Index study was recently released, and the overall sentiment by customers is, what have you done for me lately? J.D. Power's study measures overall guest satisfaction across eight hotel segments from budget to luxury and is rated in seven key measures: reservation systems, check-in, check-out, guest room, food and beverage, hotel services, hotel facilities, and cost and fees. The brands that rank the highest in guest satisfaction in their own categories? Well, for luxury, it's the Ritz-Carlton. Mid-scale is Wingate by Wyndham. For economy or budget, it's Microtel Inn and Suites by Wyndham. I also want to note that the Ritz-Carlton earned the highest score in the history of the study, with 896 points out of 1,000. The survey is based on responses gathered between June 2015 and May 2016 from more than 63,000 guests in Canada and the United States for hotel stays between May 2015 and May 2016. And the survey results can be found on jdpowers.com. Well, many bars could be changing in Las Vegas. They're on the verge of replacing mini bars with robots. It is the cost of employing additional staff for checking and restocking mini bars that's driving the prices of the mini bar items up, which is a deterrent for guests to purchase from them. You know the routine. We all do it. We go to the nearest store and purchase more affordable beverages and snacks for our room. And the rule of thumb is, do not touch anything from the mini bar. Some hotels are eliminating mini bars altogether, and others just provide the refrigerator. Most hotels, however, still provide fully stocked or some version of a mini bar. And many of the hotels in Las Vegas have switched to an automated mini bar system to cut the cost. The newer automated mini bar is equipped with sensors that detect which items have been removed. Once an item has been removed, the guest has, on average, 60 seconds to put the item back, or they will be charged. The system will only show the minibar attendants the rooms that have any sort of activity. That activity reflects only about 25 to 30% of the property, therefore reducing the number of minibar attendants that are needed. The one problem with the automated mini bars is that when a guest moves or removes something in the mini bar, they will be charged whether they use it or not. And yes, you've guessed it. The front desk is now having to deal with the disputed mini bar charges. And according to a 2014 TripAdvisor report, Las Vegas has one of the priciest mini bar markets in the country. On average, a mini bottle of vodka offered in Las Vegas hotels is $12.67. But one hotel representative said hotels need to find ways to make minibar items more affordable, especially liquor. So hotels are now looking to robotics, automated liquor dispensing machines, a drink delivery robot, or a bartending robot. Well, let's see how that pans out, and let's see if that means that the minibar prices go down, since this is the case that they're pleading. Well, meet David Phillips. In 1999, David Phillips earned 1.2 million airline miles by taking advantage of a Healthy Choice mail-in promotion by purchasing a whole lot of pudding. Phillips' earnings and score got him dubbed the pudding guy. Phillips told the Huffington Post, "I spent all the pudding miles in the first 5 years. It wasn't an unlimited supply." And here's how he earned 1.2 million miles with pudding cups. Healthy Choice had a promotion in 1999 where participants could earn up to 1,000 travel miles to the airline of their choice for every 10 product barcodes they mailed back to the company. Phillips looked for the cheapest Healthy Choice products he could find and hit the jackpot with single pudding cups for 25 cents a piece. He spent a total of $3,140 for 12,000 pudding cups and then cashed in on more than 1.2 million miles. He donated the extra cups to food banks. Now Phillips is successfully continuing his search for mileage deals. Phillips currently has another 2 million airline miles saved up and has practically mastered the art of the travel deal. Phillips, aka the pudding guy, gives his advice on how to earn and travel with an endless supply of airline miles. Become a travel industry guru by studying travel blogs and deal sites. Be ready to purchase a last-minute deal. Don't hesitate. Be flexible with your travel calendar. Don't always use your airline miles, and check the following websites daily. 1 mile at a time, View from the Wing, secretflying.com, mommypoints.com, and dandeals.com. Happy searching, or clipping coupons, or whatever it is you need to do to earn those miles. Well, that's all I have for you today for travel news, and when I come back, I'll have Javon's Travel Minute, Asta with travel trends, and how travel agents save you money, and the question of the week. You're listening to the Traveling Culturati. I'm Javon Harley on HUR Voices, Sirius XM, Channel 141. As the continent's leading airline, South African Airways, a Star Alliance member, knows Africa better than any other airline. We are Africa's most awarded airline, which includes a 4-star rating from Skytrax for 14 consecutive years and named Best Airline for Africa for 13 consecutive years. With our daily service from Washington Dulles to Johannesburg and beyond, from the moment you board, you'll see we're the only way to fly to Africa. To book your flight, visit us online at flysaa.com. That's flysaa.com. And welcome back to the Traveling Culturati. I'm your host and travel pro, Javon Harley. Traveling Culturati is all about the style and culture of travel. Make sure you visit the website, travelingculturati.com.
And now, Javon's Travel Minute.
Airlines and booking agencies have every intention to alert customers of any schedule changes to their flights. However, because of a computer glitch or unchecked emails or voicemails, a notification doesn't always reach the passenger. And even if you don't receive notification from the airline or booking agency, you're not entitled to compensation or reimbursement if you miss your flight. To avoid this from happening, always double-check and reconfirm your flight itinerary online at least 2 days prior to your flight. Sign up for email and text message alerts, and check in online 24 hours prior to your departure. If you make a reservation well in advance of your flight date, check it periodically, just in case. You'll also want to verify your connecting flights. if you have a schedule change, because airlines don't always rebook your connection. And while you're at it, reconfirm your return flight. This is Javon, and that was your Travel Minute. Now, today I'm chatting with Zane Kirby, president and CEO of the American Society of Travel Agents, a.k.a. ASTA, and we're talking about travel agents, who they are they still relevant, and about a recent study soon to be released on how travel agents save consumers both time and money. Hello, Zane, and welcome to the Traveling Culturati.
Hi, Javon. Nice to be with you today.
Oh, thanks for joining me. Now, tell us, who is ASTA?
ASTA is made up of the members of the American Society of Travel Agents, so many travel agents from around the world, and particularly here, our home bases in the United States. We have about almost 9,000 members of the American Society of Travel Agents.
Wow, 9,000 members. So is there a particular criteria to become a member of ASTA?
Well, you have to do a certain amount of business in travel, so you have to sell a certain amount of travel to be a member of ASTA, and then you also have to agree to adhere to a code of ethics. And our code of ethics is very strict. It means that you put the interests of consumers ahead of the interests of your business. So when you work with an ASTA travel agent, you're working with someone who is going to put you first.
Now, what does ASTA offer to its travel agent community? And then I want to talk about what it offers to the public as well.
Sure. To the travel agent community, we offer several services. The first and probably the most important is our advocacy work here in Washington and around the state capitals. Travel is an easy target, and is always targeted for tax increases almost everywhere you go. Because I believe that politicians have been able to get away with the argument that when you travel, when you tax travel, you're taxing out-of-towners. That's not necessarily the case, but it's an argument that's won a lot of public support. So every year, as state houses are more and more strapped for cash, they turn to travel services, and in particular travel agent services, to make up those budget shortfalls. So one of the main services that we provide is to help legislators, key legislators here in Washington and at the state house level, to understand that taxing travel is not a good idea and is something they should leave alone. So advocacy is important. The other thing that we do is to try to tell the travel agent's story, because it's a great story to tell. As we'll get into a little bit later in the program here, travel agents provide a really essential service to the traveling public. I mean, there is so much information out there. There are so many sources of information out there that you can get lost in a sea of information. And I don't know about you, but every time I go on the internet, everything looks perfect. Whereas, you know, savvy travelers, people who have been out there, know that not everything is as good as it seems on the internet. So having the professional advice of an ASTA travel agent is a great way to validate some of the research and some of the information gathering you do on your own online. So our job really is to help consumers understand the value of working with an ASTA travel agent.
Well, I think that it is very important, and I am the host of the show, but I'm also a travel professional, and I have been a travel professional for almost 30 years. And so the complexion of the travel agent has changed tremendously, and the travel industry has changed tremendously over the last 30 years. I remember the days when an international departure tax was $3 on a ticket, and I have to tell you, I used to handwrite tickets. So that dates me, I know, but it just shows you how much the industry has changed. And when you talk about what you see on the internet, it's a lot of information, and sometimes we don't know what we don't know, and that's when it's great to have a professional to go to help you navigate all of that.
You're exactly right, Javon. I mean, a couple of weeks ago, the airlines actually increased the price of you know, multi-segment or open-jaw tickets, as it's called in the industry, by about 300%. So overnight, if you're traveling from Washington, D.C. to Seattle to San Francisco back to Washington, it would cost you 3 to 4 times what it cost the day before. And you know who the first people to notice this change was? Yeah, it was travel agents. And they actually worked very quickly to mitigate those costs for their clients, their consumers. If you were able by booking them single segment trips for each of the three legs, they're able to again mitigate those costs and bring the cost down to what it was, you know, a few days before. But without someone who knows that, as you said, the system is so complicated now and so complex that having someone that knows and understands the system is really, really important. As you said, the travel landscape has also changed pretty dramatically as well. It used to be that travel agents would serve their clients in a small geographic area around their office. But now what we're seeing in the industry is that travel agents will specialize in a specific kind of travel, either a specific area of the world or type of travel like all-inclusives or cruise lines or adventure travel or any of the other specific types of travel, and they'll be able to serve their clients, you know, throughout the world, because technology has actually enabled travel agents to do that rather than hinder them or take their place.
Absolutely. It's become another arm and another tool. Now, we talked earlier about a study and survey that was recently conducted, and that's what I want to get into, because it revealed that you get the best of both worlds. It's actually titled The Best of Both Worlds, Quantifying How Travel Agents Save Consumers Time and Money. Why was this study conducted?
Yeah, this is a study. We've conducted an independent study with consumers for the last 3 years. This marks the third year. We've done it in Carnival Cruise Lines. Actually, one of our assets partners has sponsored it. We're very grateful to them for doing so. But it's really important because it helps us determine the reasons why travelers use professional travel agents and for what kinds of trips. So it's really helping travel agents understand why consumers use them, what their perceptions are of agents by consumers. TNS Global they're one of the biggest research agencies worldwide. They have a presence in over 80 countries and have more conversations with world's consumers than almost anyone else. So we felt very, very comfortable reaching out to them. They polled 14,000 U.S. households who make at least $50,000 a year and take at least one trip a year, again, to try to understand what people think about using travel agents and what their experience and sort of have them compare their experiences with in travel.
What percentage of consumers are using traditional travel agents today?
You know, what we learned from the study is that 23% of consumers are using a traditional travel agent today, and another about that same amount are using an online travel agency, with about half of the travel being booked directly with a supplier. 23% they're using a traditional travel agent is the highest number that we've had in the last 3 years since we've been performing the survey.
Well, I think it's probably coming back. I think when I said earlier, sometimes we don't know what we don't know. Sometimes we figure that out through trial and error. And I think that brings people back to a professional when they try things on their own and they say, you know, maybe I need a little bit more help with this.
Yeah, it only takes one mistake before you understand the difference between price and value. I agree with you 100%.
Yeah. So did the survey reveal what they're using travel agents for?
Yeah, it did. Actually, it's not surprising, but consumers predominantly use travel agents to book tour packages, cruises, and travel insurance, and then also more complex trips, places where they haven't been where they're going somewhere new in the world. There's a great appetite for international travel. In fact, we had a member of the Department of Transportation presented at a recent conference of ours, and in 1990 there were 7.8 million passports issued from the United States. Last year there were 127 million passports issued from the United States. So there's been an enormous explosion mm-hmm. in interest to travel abroad, and with that, you know, when you're going somewhere new, it always pays to use a travel agent and to utilize the services of someone who has been there and who has established a local network of trusted suppliers in that location that you can then leverage.
Yeah, I think it changes the experience you're going to have as well when you're thinking about especially a vacation and that dream vacation. Was there a differentiation on what consumers were using traditional travel agents for versus online travel agencies?
I don't think we've actually dipped right into the answering that particular question. I know anecdotally that many people use online travel agencies in that sort of planning phase. you know, or that dreaming phase, right? Where could I go? Where do I want to go? And sort of getting some generalized pricing. But as you move down through that that funnel, it's always good to go to a traditional travel agent to either validate what you have learned yourself or to expand your search.
Let's talk about demographics, because the one demographic everybody's talking about today are the millennials. So was there a finding in the survey or the study about the demographics of people who use traditional travel agents?
Yeah, I think it might surprise you. You know, 41% of millennials use a travel agent, and 59% said that they got a better deal and had a better experience than they would have if they planned it on their own. And these are people, as you know, who are traveling. There's sort of entering the workforce, and they don't have maybe some of the ties, you know, to with lots of children, so that they are traveling quite a bit. And they have said, you know what, this is a good way to go.
You know, I think the fear of millennials is that they have changed this landscape. And when you look at hotels, a lot of news reports, and I've seen that hotels are implementing new policies. They're implementing new amenities based on millennials. And so, yeah, we do kind of think that they're do-it-yourself, especially now that we're in this big sharing environment as well. So we think that millennials are really doing it themselves, and that maybe the demographic of baby boomers or Gen Xs are the ones that are doing things more traditionally. So it is very interesting to find that that's a big number, a little bit more than 40%. That's a big number for millennials. And I think it's very promising.
We found that as well on the travel agent side, Javon, that so many of the new agents that come into the industry, I mean, I talk to agency owners all the time, and they can't feed them information fast enough. It's a great industry to get into. And on the other side, I think yes, millennials do understand the value of working with a travel agent. In fact, that's what one of the most interesting things about the study is, that we asked consumers to compare the experiences that they had in booking directly with suppliers as opposed to booking online with an OTA and booking with a traditional travel agent. Because consumers at this point, many of them, even millennials, have had all three experiences, and they kind of, you know, we asked them to kind of look back over those experiences and really, you know, tell us about them. And what they said was that when they worked with a traditional travel agent, they ended up saving them almost, you know, $450 per trip and 4 hours of their life that they desperately wanted back. So that planning phase was truncated tremendously, and the savings were there. So that was, I think, the most interesting thing about the study, is that when we asked people to look back and compare their own experiences, that they said, you know what, working with a travel agent really saved me a lot of time and money. And by the way, you know, when I got out on the road, I wasn't surprised with all kinds of unintended or unexpected negative things that can happen out there. Either things that disrupt the trip, or when I finally did get there, things were as advertised.
Was there an indication of how they felt travel agents saved them time and money?
Well, yeah. I mean, again, it's no secret. You know, if you're going to New Zealand, do you want to start by, and you've never been there before, do you want to start by, you know, going to New Zealand's website, or going to any of the several hundred suppliers that can get you to New Zealand or offer you a tour of New Zealand? Or do you want to talk to a travel agent who's not only been to New Zealand 20 times, of trusted suppliers, but has also been to, you know, 40 or 50 other countries and can tell you whether or not New Zealand's right for you? So that 4 hours is, I mean, the 4 hours that people said that travel agents saved them is really, you know, their own recollection of trying to start this process on their own, whereas they can truncate it again tremendously by going to someone who already knows, who's been there, and who not only knows and has been there, but who understands the travel landscape, trying to accomplish, and can source and knows the local suppliers who can give them exactly what they want.
Well, that certainly is true. You're looking at that research time, that it can be extremely time consuming. And I think sometimes we all do it at the end of the day because we're working during the day, and so you're tired and you're still trying to navigate this online system and information, but finding the right information and knowing where to look and then knowing what information you're getting, what's valid, what's not valid, and what is going to be right for you, I think is so important with all of the things that you're saying. And I'm glad that this study was conducted, and I'm glad that this study is revealing this, because I think that people think that it's going to cost them more if they're using a travel agency with fees, or that their goal isn't necessarily to find them the best price point for their customer.
Yeah, again, it goes back to travel agents know who they work for. They work for the traveling public, and they know that a happy customer is the one that's going to come back years and years and years. I've been to so many travel agencies, and it's amazing. I mean, there are cards, heartfelt cards and pictures from clients. Thank you for making my wedding, my honeymoon magical. Thank you for making our 50th anniversary a trip, you know, of a lifetime, just so memorable. I don't know any other profession that gets this kind of personal accolade back. But there's a reason why people, when they use a travel agent, they say, wow, this, it made a huge difference, and I'm going to use them again. We don't lose many customers when you use a traditional travel agent. So I think you're dead on, Javon. It's a great service. It's a great experience that they create, and they're in the business of creating great experiences for their clients. You know, some travel agencies do charge a fee, but I think that the vast majority of them are disclosed right up front, and I think you more than get what you pay for in what you save on the actual trip itself in terms of time and headache and even expense. Because the other secret is a lot of suppliers will offer travel agencies more favorable benefits than they offer the traveling public, because the travel agent has a relationship with that supplier. So if you use a travel agent, you might pay the same amount, but you might get free breakfast, or you might get an onboard ship credit because the travel agent steers a certain amount steers a certain amount of business to that supplier every year. So you're leveraging someone's expertise and their connection to that supplier that you don't have yourself, because you might go to them once or twice a year and the travel agent sees them every day.
So that's an excellent point, in that you're able to use your travel agent's connections and resources and the benefits that they get and are able to pass them on to the consumer. Well, Zane, is there anything else you think the public should really know that they may not know about using a travel, I like to say travel professional, because correct me if I'm wrong, I think the term travel agent even dates the service and level of service. And I think that a travel professional is that one. Yes, they are travel agent, but it really describes who this person is and says that they've taken the necessary steps to educate themselves. They have the experience and they've done their due diligence. So my little sidebar there, but is there anything you would like someone to know about why they should use a travel agent and what those benefits are?
I think we've covered a lot of it already, Javon, but I would just say that, travel agents are in the business of creating great experiences for their clients and consumers, the traveling public. The best thing, that if you're dreaming of going somewhere new, if you're one of the 127 million Americans that have a passport, you want to go somewhere new, then go to TravelSense.org. You asked me what we do for travel agents, and we talked a little bit about that before. But what we do for consumers is we connect them to the travel agent that's right for them. So you can search by geography if you want to talk to someone that's near you. You can search by a type of travel or a type of area of the world that you want to go to. And we know we have someone in our network for sure that will be able to give you good professional advice about where you want to go. And if you don't know where you want to go, then go to TravelSense, and we can give you some ideas of where you could go. That's what we provide to the traveling public, and it's a great service. It's a free service, and again, it connects you to someone that will give you real professional advice and that's vetted by our organization, that again, who has decided to put your interest ahead of their own.
Well, Zane, thank you so much for joining me today. How can someone get that information using the American Society of Travel Agents?
Go to TravelSense.org. travelsense.org. That's travelsense.org.
Well, great. Again, we're talking to Zane Kirby, who is the president and CEO of the American Society of Travel Agents. You know, I hope that we have really given you that information, that much needed information. When we travel to another country, we sometimes are required to obtain a travel visa. Having this conversation with a fellow traveler, I realized that while some travelers have experienced having to get one, some didn't quite know what it actually was and why they needed it beyond the passport. So Mo took to the streets to see how many people know what a visa actually is and what purpose it served.
Traveling Culturati with your girl Mo, always on the go, and I have...
Mina,
have you ever traveled outside the country?
Only one time.
Can you tell me what a visa is?
Visa's kind of like a pass that lets you stay in a country for a little bit, probably like up to a year. But it's like if you're not a resident, but not a citizen. So it's kind of like your free pass to stay. You got to get like a green card or something.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you for that answer. Traveling Culturati with your girl Mo, always on the go. And I have...
Yeah, Steve.
Steve, have you ever traveled out of the country?
Yeah.
Can you tell me what a visa is?
Visa is a credit card or a passport, depending on what you need it for.
A credit card or a passport?
Yeah.
Okay, Steve. Thanks a lot. Traveling Culturati with your girl, Mo. Always on the go. And who do I have here with me today?
Oh, thank you very much, Mo. This is Garcelle.
Miss Garcelle, do you travel out of the country much?
Yes, ma'am. I do a lot of times for business.
Okay. Well, can you tell me what a visa is?
That is for people who don't live in the United States and they need a pass to get over here and live full time. Is that correct?
Oh, we'll let you know, honey. It seems as if we don't know what a visa is or what we use it for. Traveling Culturati with your girl, Mo. Always on the go. Back to you, Javon.
Thanks, Mo. A visa is an endorsement on a passport indicating that the holder is allowed to enter, leave, or stay for a specific period of time and purpose in a country. Some countries have agreements or reciprocal agreements allowing some foreign nationals to enter, leave, or stay in a country with only a passport, while others require a visa. Visas typically have a fee associated with it for processing, and the other requirements vary by country. In addition to the length of stay, you also have to indicate the purpose of your visit. For example, tourism, work, or study. Some countries require you obtain a visa stamp in advance of your travels, while others allow you to obtain a visa on arrival for tourism only. The latter is a more relaxed process and more of a formality. Upon arrival, you simply present your passport, state your purpose, pay the visa fee, and you're on your way. So the next time you're required to obtain a visa, you know exactly what it's all about. And when we come back, we've got the Culture Report. I'm Javon Harley with the Traveling Culturati on HUR Voices, Sirius XM, Channel 141. Welcome back. Javon Harley here, your travel pro and host of Traveling Culturati, with the top reasons to visit Ghana: history, friendly people, Ghanaian hospitality, and unsurpassed natural beauty. Ghana has it all, but the top reason to visit Ghana is to join me and Advantage International. The wait is over. The dates are set. Join us in Ghana September 8th through the 16th. We'll start in the capital city of Accra and visit the W.E.B. Du Bois Center for Pan-African Culture. We'll follow the history of the slave trade and visit the infamous forts, castles, and slave dungeons on the Elmina and Cape Coast, September 8th through the 16th. Fly South African Airways, Africa's most awarded airline, nonstop from Washington, D.C., and stay in deluxe accommodations. Go to advantage-intl.com for complete details. That's advantage-intl.com. See you on the plane.